This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The hour is being seen by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Men Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to have the maestro join us, Mike Palm, later on this hour from Las Vegas. We'll get Mike's thoughts on the U.S. Open, the World Cup, some liabilities the Books might be taking into account, and certainly, Jensen, be on your toes for Palm's Pressing 3. Brad Thomas will be on the program in the next hour to discuss all things World Cup. We'll do some of that now, and also little delays to get this United States Open underway, but that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Jensen, I was prepared for the wind this morning. I was not prepared for the fog. So we've got the double whammy hitting Shinnecock Hills early this morning here. Can you give the people an update here? Because if people are looking to bet live, whether it's golf props and the big boys haven't teed off yet here to kickstart the day, some fog is now wreaking havoc here on Shinnecock Hills.
Yeah, at least the update here on the site, still no one under par. We have 8 guys at even par. We still have 5 at plus one, Hamilton Coleman at plus 2 through 2. Now, just kind of waiting to see as we get moving even further, where we'll be with the weather conditions and how the fog may be lifting or taking a while to get through there. Ooh. As we look kind of alive on the course, still kind of tough to manage and get through here, but you have actually a couple of amateurs off that are at even par, and we'll wait for the bigger names, and particularly one that I know you have in line with Cam Smith, Brooks Koepka, mm-hmm. Cam Young, Chris Goddard up all delayed to start here, but they're in kind of that next handful of waves to go. Tyrrell Hatton, and then, of course, the two guys that you and I will be looking at in earnest, and Ludvig Åberg, Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy also going to be in the morning wave with Scottie Scheffler. So a boatload of big names on the early side. For people that are just joining us, remind everyone, first-round leaders that you have. I know I tailed you on Patrick Reed at 50-1. I also took Tommy Fleetwood at 34-1. Run down for everyone what you have so far if people have not gotten in just yet.
Love your Fleetwood pick. He is part of this early wave. If they can get this early wave really going up in earnest, it's both Cams. I did play Cam Smith, Cam Young. Obviously, Cam Young much shorter than Cam Smith. The flyer on the Australian. I think he should play well, though, this week with the elongated fairways there. And then also hopping on Patrick Reed right there with you. And look, I know it's a violation of court order. We'll have to discuss this kind of like Brendan Sorsby, but I did play Ludvig Åberg at 33-1 just for first round leader. I have no other future tickets on the big Swede this week, but with the early wave, being able to take advantage, all 4 of those players that you saw there in FanDuel Sports Network are part of the early wave. That was my simple handicap. I'm just not going to play anybody in the afternoon wave with the winds expected to be much, much worse than what the guys are going to get this morning. We expected it to be much, much worse here for maybe Congo DR against Portugal, and it wasn't. Portugal had to settle for a draw in that matchup. England in a wild one against Croatia, they do get the win 4-2. But Jensen, if you're coming out of that match and you're England, do you feel better or worse after your defense gives up a couple goals here in that 4-2 win?
Oh, I think you feel fine. A win is a win at this point. Again, you can tighten things up as you go, but a critical win for the Three Lions right there, and especially with Ghana getting a late stoppage time goal to beat Panama 1-0. That ends up killing our draw play at plus 220. We do get the first half under, which was scoreless there at plus money. Also, the under 2 comes in without a sweat. Colombia is going to join the long list I already have of first-round match plays here, where we have a final-minute stoppage time goal that kills our money line and under 3.5 parlay. They get it in the 99th minute of stoppage time. We'll not be making any Colombian friends anytime soon. They do not respect our American dollars quite yet. We'll give them another chance moving forward. Do have plays on the matches today, and there is a change in the handicap, Dave. Now knowing if teams have lost their first match, what they need kind of not only in this second match, but also in the final one moving forward, you could see a little bit more open attack numbers moving forward. We will handicap that on a day-to-day basis as those changing priorities will happen day in and day out.
That's called a tease, kids. That's coming up in the very next segment, the Daily Docket. Jensen will break down those four matchups that we have on display today here at the World Cup. Again, Team USA will get on the pitch tomorrow against Australia as well. And again, we're going to have Brad Thomas. We'll talk about all those things coming up in the next hour as well. But one thing we should look at in the majors from last night's play, Dodgers get the win. Shohei on the bump, an indifferent start for Shohei standards. Certainly four runs that he gives up in six innings. But Jensen, maybe an injury concern that we have to look at for the big right-hander for here for LA, some precautionary measures, and bad news north of the border, Max Scherzer. We think he's ageless, but, you know, Father Time is undefeated. Back on the IL for Mad Max.
Yeah, not a surprise here for Max, but that also is in tow with, it looks like Shane Bieber will be activated off the injured list sometime next week. He'll join the club, and that's great news. For that beleaguered rotation, they have suffered a lot of injuries. The Ohtani one we'll watch, not only it's the blister on the hand, but it's also that hamstring injury. Remember, he sustained that running the bases in Pittsburgh just a week or so ago. But again, this is an amazing Cy Young race in the National League. I would say, Dave, we're starting to see a bit of separation. These last couple of starts for Ohtani have been a bit troublesome in the statistical department because of the dominance of Christopher Sanchez with the Phillies, Jacob Mizrowski, with the Milwaukee Brewers. We get a treat tomorrow. Speaking of Cy Young, Chris Sale, who's right in that conversation too. It's Brewers Braves from Truist Park, and it's the Miz against the Sage left-hander. Get your popcorn ready tomorrow night. That is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Let me ask you from a managerial side here, if you're Dave Roberts, and we saw what happened last year with all the injuries they had, specifically to the rotation that we saw for the Dodgers. And it was about getting healthy at the end of the year, which they did. And then they really used those starters as quasi relievers, as we saw with Yamamoto in Game 7 to win the World Series. Would you be overly cautious with Shohei at this point, just knowing the history and what you did last year with those starters, to say, you know what? Sure, we'd love to have him in July, but I'd rather just make sure that we're good come September.
Yeah, conversation I had with Mike Farron on MLB Network Radio yesterday, Sirius Channel 89, for those of you that tuned in as well. I think what's unique about the scenario, Dave, is it feels like there's been a concerted effort, at least early in the year, where they have prioritized what Shohei has wanted by being able to pitch, and he hasn't hit in some of those starts. Put a pin in that as we move into the All-Star break. The Dodgers are going to win the West comfortably. That, again, if it gets close, then they have had injury upon injury upon injury. They're not losing the West this year. What I think is fascinating, how much do you give? Like, this is the ultimate tightrope, Dave, and this will factor into people wanting to bet awards markets, especially in the National League Cy Young. Shohei's going to win the MVP unless he misses 2 months in the second half of the season. The Cy Young now, from an innings threshold, Dave, if they're trying to balance, we need Shohei healthy through the end of the year and through October because we're trying to three-peat here. That's going to be a dock against him in the National League Cy Young race, okay? Because you're going to get Mizrowski and you're going to get Sanchez, who are going to have the innings threat. You're going to be 175, 180, 190 innings. Shohei is not getting that if they're going to protect him. So just factor that in when you're looking at it right now. He has drifted in kind, almost back to where he was at the beginning of the year, 30, 35 to 1. If you're looking to jump in right now, it's Zach Wheeler. That's the name because of how the Phillies are trending. And remember, he's got to overcome his teammate in Christopher Sanchez and also think about the wear and tear on Jacob Mizrowski. All right, this is still a young pitcher. And Dave, if the Brewers want to go where they think they can go, they got swept by the Dodgers last year in the NLCS. They're also going to be mindful of Jacob Mizrowski's innings in the second half. Very interesting dynamic that we will have in what will be a crowded National League Cy Young race.
I saw Yoshi Yamamoto moving up that board, too, to 25-1. That caught my eye as well. Okay, let's get to what caught your eye at Omaha. We're down to two, North Carolina, Oklahoma. Goodbye to Georgia and West Virginia. Great runs that they had to get to the Final Four. But now that you're down to this two, Jensen, this is not a surprise, and I believe you actually predicted this pre-College World Series kicking off.
A couple of futures that if people had not gotten in, that I recommended. Oklahoma was upwards, I think, of 30-1. and they have absolutely caught fire and just felt like the value with their first round matchup against Alabama presented them with a much cleaner path or less resistance than having to go through a Texas or Georgia multiple times. They end up taking care of Georgia in kind of 11-4, wasn't even close. North Carolina is the most complete team right now, Dave. We visited with Kyle Peterson the last couple of weeks. He even mentioned it to us earlier this week that, I mean, Scott Forbes' group is loaded. Their pitching top to bottom is as good as it gets. They don't beat themselves in the base paths. They find ways to really leverage you in run-scoring situations. So I'm seeing they're upwards of $1.90 series favorite right now. I would agree that that's where they're at. Come back, I think, for Oklahoma's plus $1.55. For people that don't know how it works, off day tomorrow, game one, North Carolina, by virtue of being the higher national seed, will be the home team Saturday night, 8:00 Eastern. And then 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, Dave, on ABC, you will have game two of that series. Oklahoma will then be the home team. And should we need a winner take all, that will happen Monday night in Omaha. So excited for a big weekend to crown a national champion there in Middle America.
Brennan Sorsby is out of Lubbock and on to the NFL. Supplemental draft will be held at some point next month. He is eligible for it. We do believe he's filed the paperwork for it. That's at least. And all 32 teams reportedly will be at his pro day next month. Jensen, we've talked about it a lot here. I wonder if he's going to get if a GM and a team is going to give up a first round pick to get Sorsby on their roster this year. Only time will tell. We'll figure that out as the weeks come and go. When we come back, let's talk about the World Cup here. Break down some of those plays that you have in pocket. And also, Francis Ngannou, was he betting on the main event Sunday night? And we'll tell you which way he wagered. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football season is literally right around the corner. The best bettors, they're already prepared for it. You can be as well. We've got our betting guide coming out on Monday. It's packed with everything you need to attack the futures, win totals, divisional races, and the entirety of the upcoming NFL season. Lock in that early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. Be among the first to get the guide when it drops next week. So the sooner you sign up now, the more value you will get. Full access to everything we do across every sport throughout the entirety of February, which is when the Super Bowl will be played next year. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Head over to VSiN.com/subscriber right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you, getting ready for some exciting, we believe, World Cup matches on the pitch. Still waiting to see the U.S. Open and what that's going to portend here for the rest of the weekend. Also, a very interesting soundbite we're going to hear from Francis Ngannou, the former heavyweight champion of the world. But Jensen, let's kick it off with soccer, today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Savor this, soccer fans, when you have four matches that you can peruse and bet today, because it won't last forever. We're going to start to get to some teams getting knocked out here, Jensen. But we've got four matches, and with the first one today down there in the ATL, it'll be Czechia against South Africa to be on the pitch here. Do you have a play on that matchup today?
We're going to go right back. We are glutton for punishment. Why the hell not take our usual Czechia money line and under 3.5 alternate total. That's plus $1.42 on DraftKings. Again, to remind people, This day begins the second round of group action. Czechia and South Africa both defeated in their first round matchups against Mexico and South Korea. So a de facto eliminator right here should either team end up falling in defeat. I do think Czechia is the side here. I think that we can find a little bit of a lower scoring game just because this is not an offensive juggernaut on either side. Knowing that there is urgency from both sides, I can understand where people might feel that an over would be there because you want to send some numbers forward. But we will err on the side of caution here with a parlay of Czechia money line and under 3.5. We'll also just play by itself the under 2.5 between Czechia and South Africa in match number one. Match number two today, Bosnia and Switzerland. Again, this is also some implications in Group B. Dave, all four teams drew in their first matches, and so everyone has 1 point. Everyone is even on the goal differential. So almost we're restarting the group today. Two matches to try and get yourself to the knockout round. First one here, as I said, Bosnia, Switzerland. I am actually going to go with a quarter unit play for Bosnia to pull the upset. Plus 550 is what I found on the money line. Switzerland, the better team. But Dave, there's going to be a sense of urgency here. And I think that's going to be an opportunity for Bosnia to be able to find itself in some footing potentially late in this match. I would not be surprised if we do get a little bit of back and forth here. I realize that you're almost a $2 favorite on Switzerland, but God, we went through the first round of matchups, and how many of these big-time favorites end up drawing or even letting teams hang around where they should have lost games? So that's kind of where my pivot will be. With that in mind, Dave, with some aggressiveness, I'm going to go with Switzerland and Bosnia, both teams to score. That's even money that I found on Hard Rock. So I do think we get some aggressiveness between these two teams. Qatar and Canada. This is from our friends north of the border in Vancouver, where this game will be taking place. This is also a Group B match here. Again, all four of the Group B teams drew in their first matchup. This is a decided advantage to Canada. If they can't win by multiple goals, Dave, not only do we take the cup away from them again, but we may have to take soccer away from them as well, because this is a game you should be able to dominate from the first minute through the end. Does Qatar score? That's my question. You could do Canada to keep a clean sheet here. I think that's an interesting little angle. If you do want to kind of go back to what we've done before, Canada money line under 3.5, the parlay there. I haven't gotten there yet, Dave, but that would be an angle I'm looking to attack. And then finally, the two winners here in Group A, South Korea and Mexico. This is a home game in every sense, Dave. Guadalajara, the site here. And you know the Mexican faithful are going to absolutely be rocking and rolling with their team already with a win in pocket. This one feels tight. I understand where the energy could be there for the Mexican side. They should be the favorite, but they're not. They're almost even money. So an intriguing spot here. If you feel that you want to be conservative, I think you could take a draw and be fine with it, because both teams, Dave, remember, this is part of the handicap. Both teams already have 3 points, and they're both in the positive on the goal differential. So if you want to be ultra conservative, I think these teams obviously understand where they are at this point. You get the 4 points, you're pretty much on the doorstep of punching your ticket to the knockout round.
I was going to ask you about that. Obviously, it'll be a home field advantage, you would believe, for Mexico against South Korea here. The other ones, whether it's more neutral, do you factor that in? Or is it just become kind of a stalemate if there's no, we would believe, geographical advantage for some of these teams playing?
So that's been the intriguing part, too, is the home field advantage has certainly been there. We saw it at SoFi with the United States. We've seen it with Mexico in the first match of the World Cup. I would anticipate that that will be something that they utilize and get a little energy there. Kind of anxious to see what temperatures are like later on tonight. It is a night game, so you wonder if they're not playing in the heat of the day, if that can change the attack a little bit. For what it's worth, I think if you still want to get under on this total of 2.5 with South Korea and Mexico, I could see that, because again, I don't anticipate either of these teams taking really aggressive chances and putting themselves in a real problem area for counterattack from either side. So this feels like a tightly contested match. As I said, the draw is advantageous for me here, but I would say that I think Mexico could win a very tightly contested contest.
Well, if they do overextend themselves, they're going to have some hydration breaks to take care of that. We saw a wild event Sunday night at the White House, that's for sure, Jensen. I think people are still buzzing about Justin Gaethje and the knockout win, the stoppage that they had after the fourth round here against Ilya Topuria to become the new lightweight champion of the world. Now, there are interesting things that have come out about this. We saw it, and I gave it out right here in the network that I like Justin Gaethje, certainly the plus money, the over 1.5. We're not alone in this. And what I'm always fascinated by is, like, say you, when you're breaking down baseball, you can look at it differently, I think, than other people that just look at it from a numeric standpoint before they get to their wagers. Francis Ngannou, the former heavyweight champion of the world, obviously in the UFC, is now out of the promotion. So it's not illegal, by the way, for Francis to wager on these things. He was on with TMZ, and he had some very interesting comments about when he saw the number and how big an underdog Justin Gaethje was Sunday night.
I knew. I put my money on Gaethje.
Did you actually bet on the fight? Be smart if you did.
Yeah. Oh, no, I bet on Gaethje. You know, I saw this odd, and I'm like, something wrong with this bookmaker. Like, what's wrong? Like, this is Justin Gaethje, man. Like, I mean, even when the guy lost, he always show up and give you the show, put on the show.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we could have had Francis Ngannou in the risk room for Circa and, you know, say Jeffrey Benson and the guys are putting up the numbers and he going, this is Justin Gaethje. I can't do the accent. Well, like that, and then you know, you could see like Jeff, all right, you know, maybe we got to adjust this a little bit because the big fella over here is telling us that, what, are we crazy for putting up these numbers? But Jensen, I do think you get a perspective that's a little bit different depending on your sport, as you could see almost a look on his face like, what are y'all crazy? Do you know who this guy is? And you're putting those numbers where you put them? Do you get a different perspective from the game you played and other people trying to tell you about your sport sometimes?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can obviously see, having been in the fight in the arena, body language is always one that I look at. And it was something that I did. Like, there are times that I would stare down a hitter. I wanted to see if he'd look me in the eye or if he quickly kind of looked down. I was like, all right, I got you. And then there's some other ones, you know, I've told you the Adrian Beltre story, the crazy man in the ring. you get the bull and the horns pointed straight at you. You're kind of taking your life in your own hands. I was ready. I don't think he was ready for return fire there. So, I completely understand where Francis Ngannou was right there. You can tell where the extra motivation factor is. And then when you watch a guy, you already kind of tell from being through the experience what guys have and what guys don't. So, well done. All we need to know, Dave, what was the wager amount from Francis Ngannou? How much did he put on the American there to get it done?
I'm going to theorize it was a little bit more than my full unit play. I'll leave it at that because I believe Francis went on to say that he wanted to thank Justin Gaethje because he's going to be feeding his family for a little while. I think Francis put down a pretty nice chunk of change out there on the old highlight to get it done. And I love that. It's a life lesson that we learned from Mr. Miyagi. Look eye. Always look eye, right? So when you look in the eye of your opponent, you're going to know right away whether or not that person's up to the task or not. And I'm sure Francis Ngannou was banking on that, exactly what you're talking about, Jensen. All right, when we come back, the maestro himself, Mike Palm, is going to join the program. What about liabilities, not only for the World Cup going forward, and I wonder if USA is now becoming potentially a liability, also the United States Open as round one is underway. That's next right here on Beast by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Circus 2026 football contests are open for business, and you don't have to live in Vegas in order to play after your required in-person registration. Winner Circle Proxy is going to handle the rest. Your weekly submissions, so you can take care and make those picks from anywhere in the country. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere, and schedule your appointment right now when you go to winnercircleproxy.com. It's been business, I believe, is booming so far for the three biggies here for Circa, Millions, Grandissimo, and Survivor. You and I are already in Millions, I believe. I've got a buddy going out there for Survivor, so he's already done that with Winner Circle Proxy and has his proxy service lined up, my boy John Chu. So you should be doing the same at home as well. Mike Palm does a great job as a VP of operations at Circa the D and Golden Gate Casino. Give him a follow on X at Circa Maestro and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. He is not in studio, people. We don't want to say parts unknown, Mike, because we don't want to give out your whereabouts. But you are on the move. Is this difficult to do a hard-hitting interview while you're also trying to prepare for air travel?
Well, I'm all prepared. I'm just waiting until they call Group 8 and hoping there's overhead bed space. But you know, I'm heading to, as I said on X, heading to where some people mistake for heaven. I'm going back to Iowa. I've got some business there in Des Moines and in Clinton, and we'll also be able to get up to Dubuque to see my mom, and actually driving over to Chicago early Saturday morning to do Palm Saturdays from the Score studio.
Very good, brother. Safe travels, and we will call Southwest ourselves if they don't hold some overhead bin space for you, because they need a lesson in some of those etiquette rules. Speaking of etiquette, I don't know if some of these World Cup teams just do not respect our American dollar, but some of these results have been ridiculous. I know you joined Mitch and Paulie yesterday talking about the wildness, the England-Croatia match, just back and forth. That was crazy. Top line thoughts now that we begin the second wave of group play later on this afternoon, Mike.
Well, it's interesting now, right? So every team's now playing their second game for the next 6 days or so. And is this going to be a case of like week one in the NFL and week two where we try not to overreact to what we saw in week one? But what's interesting about this three-match group play is there's some teams whose fates, you know, they sort of need results in the second week already because they put themselves behind the eight ball. So I think there's been more scoring than I thought there was going to be. I do think these hydration breaks contribute to it. In essence, we're cutting the soccer game into quarters where it used to be halves. And it's not like the trainers are running out there with water bottles for the 11 guys on the field. They meet with the coaches. They've got the iPads. They're able to make strategy changes. It's interesting. And I think if you bet, you know, these increments of time, will there be a goal in the next 10? Will there be a goal in the next 15, depending on what your books offer? After these hydration breaks, I think this would be a successful way to attack it so far.
When you look at USA, and they're going to be on the pitch tomorrow against Australia in their second match here of this World Cup, they did get shorted 60-1 pre-tournament, now down to 40-1 here. Mike, I mean, it's one match. It is a $20 move in the marketplace here. Any visions of grandeur there? Like, what do you expect against Australia? And could you, dare I say, take a flyer in a long-term bet?
No, I don't think so. Perhaps the expectations of some that they reach the quarterfinals is more realistic than I thought. I thought they were very skillful in the attacking zone, in the box. I thought their first touches were really good. And it's certainly the best performance we've seen out of Team USA in a group stage, maybe in World Cup history, but certainly in our generation. So at the same time, I'm very much looking forward to the match with Australia. They really shocked me. I had Turkey in that first matchup, and Australia really dominated that game. So I do think it'll be a high-scoring affair here come noon Pacific time tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to watch. Before we get there, Mike, and I said this to Dave, I'm interested in your take. We do have some second round matchups or second games of group matchups in particular today, Czech Republic and South Africa, a perfect example. How do you handicap the urgency portion of where teams that lost their first match of group play, how they will try and send some numbers forward? Does that affect your handicap of a money line side, of a total, just knowing the urgency factor will be there, and with the added value, knowing we will have some third place finishers that will qualify for the knockout round?
And for today, for me, Jensen, it's triggered me to bet a Canada minus a goal and a half. I think Canada's really put themselves behind the eight ball with a performance, a tie in Toronto against what I consider one of the worst European sides in Bosnia, Herzegovina. And so now I think they need margin in this matchup because they're going to have 4 points. And goal differential may be important here. So normally, if they had won their first match, I wouldn't be interested in this goal and a half line. But I think today, even if they're ahead of goal, they have to keep moving forward to try to win by two or three goals.
Mike, the crowds have been fantastic. We've seen the videos here, certainly for Circa and the kind of the way that the pilgrimage people are making to go there to watch this if they can't get to the World Cup itself. What have you seen at the window? Are there any liabilities out there for certain countries that you guys might be rooting for or against?
Well, we did take some Argentina money after the Messi hat trick. Really, there's been more handle on the totals on these games, guys, than on the sides. For instance, last Friday night, I thought, of course, we're going to get buried to that USA result. No, it was a great result for us because of all the under first half money and under game money. So I'd say we're a little over 60% of our handles on totals right now as compared to either three-way betting on teams spread or even futures.
Mike, as we kind of roll through where we are, and we're going to wait for the weather to kind of dictate some things in the first round of the U.S. Open, liabilities for you guys on our third of the four majors this year. I know Dave and I are invested in a couple of big long shots. Any names that you guys have there at Circa that you're kind of keeping an eye on as far as the outright market?
You know, we're waiting. We saw a big bet come in on Scheffler yesterday. But I'm still waiting for the overall matrix, which he's going to send out, unfortunately, after I'm off the air. But usually right around 6:05, Jeff Davis will send out the matrix. I'll send a text to you guys and update you so you can mention it on here.
I absolutely love that. Mike, very quickly, too, because you mentioned you did take that big bet on Scotty. I wonder, are you guys getting to the point now, I don't want to say tournament to tournament, that you know these are the long, if you want to call these longer numbers in Scotty, that we've seen in a year or so at least, that are you guys making it more advantageous if you get closer to that 6-to-1s here pre-tournament that people are starting to dip their toe back into Scotty? Because I know I think a lot of professional bettors are like, man, I just can't bet Scotty at these super short numbers.
Yeah, plus 590 and plus 595 were the two bets that we took yesterday at the mid-five-figure range on Scotty. So I think you have a point, this $4.50, $4, and that's just unbettable. But as we drift up to $6 or maybe higher, you will see some more, sharper money.
Mike, we talked a little bit about what we will see tomorrow in Major League Baseball, two of the top NL Cy Young matchup candidates in Chris Sale, Jacob Mizrowski. I'm sure you had a watchful eye on Shohei Ohtani yesterday in that outing. Kind of back-to-back hiccups here and now dealing with the blister. He did come in and pinch hit there late in that ball game. Your assessment now of where we stand, I know you and I have had a conversation about the hierarchy of the National League Cy Young. You agree that Mizrowski should be odds on as the favorite, or do you think Sanchez still very viable where he's at?
Oh, I think that they should probably be co-favorites at this point. I still think there's going to be that Pat Murphy is going to manage Mizrowski's innings here, especially as I perceive the Brewers are going to run away with the Central the way the Dodgers are running away with the West. And I think the Phillies aren't done here. The Acuña injury has left the Braves looking very flat. And so I think the Phillies are going to get back into this race, and you're probably going to need Sanchez all the way to the end to try to win the NL East. So he's going to have an innings advantage there as well. I think Shohei is for the most part out of it at this point.
All right, 45 seconds before we have to take a break and then get ready for Palm Springs 3. I texted Stormy yesterday after the John Tortorella news came out that he would not be coming back. We knew that was kind of expected. But are you hearing, Mike, that he actually did want to stay in Vegas and management said, no, we're going with the plan? Are you surprised that Torts is not going to be back for a year or two at VGK?
I'm not surprised because he cost them a second-round draft pick and $100,000 for his nonsense and not talking to the media. I am surprised that after he kept the company line that he was going to be done in June no matter what. Now he's complaining that they didn't give him a new contract.
Ooh, as the torch turns, we'll find out if he gets a new spot somewhere else. All right, Mike, hopefully they don't call you for Group B, I believe, or Group 8, you said, before we get to Palms Pressing 3, because that's coming up next. But, you know, you're going back to see Mom, so, you know, I'm totally on board with that trip back to Ireland. All right, we're coming back with the maestro himself. Jensen will be on his toes. We are all ready. America is ready. Palms Pressing 3 is up next.
to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here on this Thursday morning edition of You and I have talked a lot about, and certainly throughout the weeks here, about airline travel in this great United States of ours. Sometimes it can be problematic. Mike Palm fighting through it today like a pro that he is. And even though he's waiting for his flight to board, he is prepared. America, you should be too, for Palms Pressing 3.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
All right, Jensen, when you're a major league player, especially in your home market of Cleveland, there's a strange dynamic where people recognize you everywhere, ask for autographs, want pictures, and assume you've made it financially. The public sees the fame and visibility and naturally assumes you're living a life of unlimited wealth and opulence. Yet when you were playing on the league minimum and the world of the million-dollar life, the reality was that after taxes, agents' fees, and providing for your family, at the end of the day, the bartender mixing your drink at your favorite post-game hangout probably took home more money than you did. Jensen, did you ever struggle with the disconnect between this perception and reality, not just financially, but personally? Did being treated like a celebrity create an illusion that you were more important than you actually were, only to go home and be reminded that you still had the same money issues, responsibilities, and worries as everyone else? And when your career ended and the recognition faded, was there a moment where you realized that much of the status and attention was attached to the uniform rather than to you as a person? And if so, how did that affect your sense of identity and self-worth even to this day?
Oh, God, we could do a half hour on just all of that, almost like three questions in one. Great stuff, Mike. I'll start at the beginning. Yeah, and my family and extended family is all here in Northeast Ohio, and my parents are still down in Cincinnati. And so, you know, the connection was always there, and it was a childhood dream to play for the Cleveland Indians. And so to accomplish that at age 23, imagine all the people that come out of the woodwork and, oh, I knew you win and all that. Sure. Yeah, you did. And all the different ticket requests and things of that nature, what have you. There is a certain part where you do get taken advantage of because of, you know, who you are and what you do, instead of, you know, people actually, you know, remembering you're a human being too. You sign up for it. You know, that's part of the gig. It is what it is. But funny story, I feel like, Dave, and you can relate to this as well. Being on pre and post game for over a decade, every day, I was kind of like a news anchor. So I was on in people's homes every single day. I feel like I got recognized more on the media side. I'm not wearing a ball cap. I'm not wearing a uniform. So you can see the full face. You can kind of, you know, come and touch and talk, if you will, at our pre and post game set. So Dave, I feel like the connection deepened tenfold, and the recognition part was even extrapolated more being on this side of the ledger than the playing day. So, you know, I played 9 years of pro ball. I've been doing the media side now for what, upwards of 15, 16 years. So I think what the uniqueness is, hey, we can still go to Cleveland when you guys are in town. And I know a few people who will go ahead and get our first round for us for free. So we're good there. We can do a little horse trading. We would come out to Circa, Mike. So no big deal. But Dave, I know you can relate to it. Not only your DC days, Chicago. It is unique, man, when everyone's got a device. Everyone can find you on the tube. And that certainly was a big differentiator for sure.
I'm not going to take it as a personal shot that Mike did not mention that I am an author of the book entitled A Dynasty Restored Through the Eyes of Their Number One Fan, when I wrote back in 1995 about the Dallas Cowboys. And then I had a book signing in Richmond, Virginia, Mike. And let's just say not a lot of people came up to have my book signed. And it was a bit disappointing. We'll just leave it at that.
Question two, Jensen. Despite the best efforts of Texas Tech boosters, Joey McGuire, Kirby Hoketh, and the Attorney General of the state of Texas, Brendan Sorsby, the only person to place more bets than Wes Reynolds and Jensen Lewis this decade, has applied to enter the NFL supplemental draft. Jensen, if the NCAA as an institution and every institution of higher learning in this nation outside of Lubbock did not want Sorsby playing because of the integrity issues that his behavior created, won't the NFL itself or NFL teams also have major issues with his prohibited wagering, especially on his own teammates' props?
Yeah, Mike, it's a great question. And as someone who is up 21 units on the year, I was not one involved in Russian table tennis or underwater basket weaving spread lines there. So I would say that there is probably some due diligence that's going to be done. And I wouldn't be surprised that if it is a one strike and you're out here, and using that as a benchmark for not only college kids, but anyone else in that scenario. Mike and Dave, we did this during my major league tenure, where the performance enhancing, I played right at the end of the steroid era. And we really started to crack down on the performance enhancing drugs and really sharpened and harshened the penalties. And I would not be surprised that because of the explosion of where we are from regulated sports books and mobile betting throughout the country, that we will see more instances. Brendan Sorensen is not going to be the last kid in collegiate athletics that this is a story about. It is big because it's kind of that first big time star. He's a quarterback of a college football team that's prominent. So I would expect a due diligence to be done, where GMs are going to sit him down and say, here's the deal. Not many people get a second chance. You're getting it. But if it happens again, period, you're out. That's it. Mm. You're done. And Dave, that would not shock me if there is that threshold that is established, and not to use his name, but the Brendan Sorsby rule. You gamble on it, you're done. That's it. Your first bet is your last bet, if you will. And Dave, I think that's kind of where the NFL will come down, to eradicate that behavior from Brendan Sorsby and anyone that follows in his footsteps.
It is amazing, because I'm not saying that the NFL has forgotten about the Calvin Ridley's, the Jameson Williams situations, where they've had to suspend players already with gambling-related issues, or go way back. Mike, I know you know, and Jensen, you know, in that neck of the woods, Arch Leister. It's still a stain on the league. That name still has a connotation to it. It'll be very interesting to see if there is a hard-line rule for Brendan Sorsby when he becomes a member of the National Football League, because that's going to happen in very short order.
Question three. Late last night in one of the great cathedrals of football in the Americas, Estadio de Azteca in Mexico City, the final game of the first round of troop play was completed. 13th ranked and heavily favored Colombia held off 50th ranked World Cup debutant Uzbekistan 3-1. The interlopers from the Silk Road became the second former Soviet republic to compete in the World Cup after Ukraine. Jensen, you and Dave are two big America 250 guys. So I ask you this question with all sincerity. Aren't two superpowers actually better than one? They force both sides to manage conflicts carefully. It accelerates technological development and prevents the weaponization of global trade. Or is Thucydides' trap just too much to overcome?
In a Lewis Ross administration, Mike, is one of the tenets of our platform. Dave and I have always been open and honest about wanting to have peace on Earth. And that's as right. The leader of our superpower in these great United States, when and if that does happen, we'll be happy to come to the table to talk with those that feel as though they are equal to us. There will always be that trump card that we hold back. And I underline that in earnest for the funhouse that's listening out there. We absolutely are number one. We intend to be number one, and we will stay number one. That is the message that we will deliver, peace through strength. And Dave, I don't think anyone would challenge us knowing what retribution might be there. We will work hand in hand, but remember who's on top, and we intend to stay there for years to come.
So well said, that if you want to be our equal, that's great in your eyes. But we know in reality, we're going to be a step ahead, Mike. And there's got to be a pecking order. You got to have rules, because without them and without a pecking order, you're going to have two people trying to look eye to eye. And that always starts a conflict. So as long as we know who's number one, even if it's just slightly number one, you got to have that hierarchy system. And I think we all know with the red, white, and blue, we are, in fact, number one. And, Mike, look, it gets back to even golf. We got our United States Open going on this week. and then we'll go play theirs, right? The British Open or the Open Championship. And we kind of do a little snooty snotty, look down a little bit on some of the other things that go on in the world. And look, Jensen's made the point. We've kind of taken hockey away from Canada already. Are we really going to take soccer away from the rest of the world? I don't know if the rest of the world's ready for that, Mike.
It's interesting to me, every population study I've seen shows Africa surging in population while Europe continues to die. I wonder if the European countries will be able to hold on to their dominance in soccer.
It's a fair question, not one that they want to answer today. Mike, travel safely. It's always great to go home and see Mom. Please tell her hi from Jensen and Dave here at VSiN by the Books. We are back to talk a little World Cup and some U.S. Open next right here on VSiN by the Books.